Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
On this gorgeous, gorgeous Sunday morning, following a gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. Man, has it been nice outside. Hope you can get out and enjoy some of it. Not before you enjoy some of our little show here this morning, though, which will include the week in health, our weekly look at the health topics of the week. Joining us is Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, good morning, my friend. How are you? Push the button and say hello to Dr. Silver again. Hello there, my friend.
Dean, how are you?
Doing very, very well. So probably the big topic of the week has been the President of the United States, President Biden, coming down with COVID. Last week, we talked a little bit about the COVID resurgence, which is going on. Is that probably what's going on with President Biden right now, that he was, unfortunate enough to get exposed to this resurgence?
Yeah, I think probably that's the case. This new variant seems to be very infectious, but not any more severe than the previous variant. So that's the good news. People are still getting sick, but they're not getting super sick or dying in huge numbers like we've seen in previous surges.
But still very serious. The president is 81 years old. During the whole run of COVID, it was always a big deal that people who are, above the age of 65 are at greater risk. People with certain immunodeficiencies are at greater risk. Is all of that still true? Should our seniors be extra, extra careful right now since the COVID resurgence is definitely on?
Yeah, I think you're right, Dean. I think as you get older, your immune system doesn't function as well, and certainly other medical conditions tend to stack up as the years pass by. So I think it's worthwhile to remain cautious. And the death rate, by the way, isn't zero. It's low, but it's not zero. So absolutely, that the older group, particularly those that are into their 70s and 80s, take heed. And as always, there are vaccines available if your vaccines aren't up to date.
So what should somebody do if they are starting to feel a little wonky? And when I say that, what are the symptoms that they should be looking for? Or, do a self-test if they still, have any of those self-test things laying around, or go to the doc and get, or pharmacy, I guess, to get tested. What are the kinds of symptoms that they should keep an eye out for?
Well, of course, the loss of taste or smell is that hallmark feature of COVID. So certainly if that's the case, I would think, maybe I've got COVID. And then, of course, the typical, what we call typical upper respiratory infection type symptoms, because they are present with so many different viruses beyond just COVID, and that would include things like cough, sore throat, runny nose, fatigue, muscle aches. I think like any other virus, you wouldn't want to give it to a little baby or an older person or immunocompromised person. If you're going to be around people and you're sick, wear a mask like we do in the emergency room if we're not feeling well, and certainly when we're seeing patients. Stay home if you don't feel good.
What about the course of immunization right now? A lot of people have, long before this summer, have fallen off from their immunization schedules. What should they be doing in terms of that? Should they go to their doctors and say, am I up to date on my COVID shots? Do you go to a pharmacy? What should you do? We've all, I think, sort of forgotten all these things that were second nature a couple of years ago.
Sure. Certainly some pharmacies, and I won't name names, but there are certain big box pharmacies that actually track your immunizations if you have a login. And if you haven't done it before, you can certainly utilize that service. If you don't know, perhaps your physician does, but I think a lot of primary care offices may not have that, all that information. But really, truly, the bottom line is if you haven't been vaccinated in the last 12 months, then you're due. And you're certainly eligible to have a vaccine, and that's definitely something you want to talk about with your primary care physician if you have one.
256 area code is asking for how long are the self-tests good?
So that could be answered in one of two ways. So one is to look at the box and see if there's an expiration date on it, which they all should have. And I wouldn't use the test past the expiration date. The other question I've heard throughout the pandemic is the test that I have in my hand, is that good to cover the current variant of virus? And there's no reason to think that any of the tests that we've seen out in the last, I would say the last year, because the other tests would have expired by now. I would say in the last year would be perfectly fine for sensitivity of the virus. The other thing that I'll mention, Dean, just because you bring it up, is that the tests that we get over the counter are a little bit different than some of the tests that are available in the hospital or in the clinic. They're a little bit more specific. They actually test the ones in the hospital or the clinic can actually test for the DNA of the virus, as opposed to the tests that you can buy over the counter. Those are sort of what we call antigen tests, which test for little particles of protein on the virus. Mm. So a slightly different approach. And, you know, if the antigen test is negative, the DNA or the RNA test can be positive. So that's why it's always good to kind of, if you're still not feeling well, you've tested, you've got a negative test from the supermarket, but you're really not feeling good and you're concerned, talk to your doctor and they may be able to guide you.
Yeah, that's that seems to make a lot of sense. I always felt funny, you know, getting medical things at the grocery store. You know, I think I got two of my vaccinations there. And I sat there going, I just came in here to buy some coleslaw today. I did not think I was coming in for a vaccination. I think it might be better to do it at the doctor's office. Let's get back to the doctor after a quick break. Dr. Jeremy Silver from Kishwaukee Hospital, 312-981-7200. If you've got questions next, 9:52 is the time. Dr. Jeremy Silver from Kishwaukee Hospital on the Weekend Health. And, Doctor, a question from the 773 area code. Please ask Dr. Silver for some details on the listeria outbreak that's going on from deli meat. I'm not even sure I completely understand. What is listeria?
Yeah, so great question. Certainly topical. Listeria is a serious infection. It's a bacteria. It is associated with certain types of foods like deli meats, unpasteurized milk, melons that have been sitting out in warm weather, and there's a variety of other culprits. Sprouts are another one. Essentially, it's a serious bacteria. It's got a pretty high mortality rate associated with it. And right now we're seeing an outbreak related to sliced deli meat across the nation. So the simple way to avoid it is to avoid the foods that can be associated with it. Of course, those are good foods, right? So we love pre-made, you know, potato salad and pâtés and smoked fish. And you can Google all this stuff. It's available, you know, on the web. But if you're, you know, again, it's the same kind of refrain, Dean. If you're over 65, if you have an immune compromising condition, such as a cancer or an autoimmune disease, or very young kids under a year, maybe best to avoid these foods or be very careful with them.
You think it's in the handling of the food? Is it in the manufacture of these processed foods that we're getting this bacteria or virus, you know, whatever it is?
Yeah, one of the conditions that the virus or the bacteria, excuse me, thrives in is warm temperatures. So there may be something, like you say, with the the whole supply chain from the point at which the food is prepared or culled to the point where it's presented to you in the grocery store. So that's certainly an issue. Now you can also, you know, uncooked things like uncooked hot dogs. I don't know who's eating those, but for what it's worth, you know, you want to really heat those up, and things like sausages, you want to cook those to 165 internal temperature. So there are things that you can do, but it's hard when outbreaks get into the food supply. They tend to be focused in from one particular plant, or from one area of preparation, or one area, one weak link in the chain. And it tends to be a small number of people, but it's terrifying because some of those people get sick and die.
Yeah, we had the first reported case, first reported human case of West Nile virus in Illinois this past week. What should people do to minimize any kind of exposure to that?
Yeah, sure. You know, it certainly is a concerning illness. West Nile virus can cause meningitis and paralysis and death. It's a horrible, horrible disease. Very uncommon, which is great. And it's transmitted by the vector of a mosquito. So the key is going to be reduction of mosquito bites. So utilize, you know, bug repellent. And of course, don't use DEET on kids. Some people like the DEET because it works so well. It really is truly effective, but don't put it on your body. Put it on your clothing if you're going to use it. But there are other less noxious chemicals you can use, like oil of lemon or eucalyptus. So, again, look at the label. You know, you can go to the pharmacist at the drugstore and ask them what's safe for kids. There's plenty of kid-safe repellents out there. You want to make sure that your screens are, if you're going to your camp and you want to have all the screens, make sure they're working and tight. And that's really it. It's all about prevention. There's no real treatment or cure.
I know people who, when they get mosquito bites, get the biggest, giant, reddest kind of welts. You know, for example, I get a mosquito bite. I get just a tiny little bump, and, you know, it's super itchy. But some people react in a much more swollen sort of way. Why is that?
I think it's just variations in the immune system. I can tell you, I'm like you, Dean. I get little tiny little bites that itch for a few hours, and that's it. But my wife and child are, there's just no rest for the weary with them. They're huge welts, and they itch for days. And some folks are just unlucky, and, of course, sweeter tasting to the mosquitoes than maybe you or I might be.
Yeah, and it seems like these people who get these giant welts are magnets for mosquitoes. Like,
yeah,
the mosquitoes find them. They'll leave everybody else alone, but they'll find them and attack them like crazy. Are there certain body chemistries or oils which are more attractive to our little bitey friends?
I think intuitively there have to be, right? Why are there some people, like you say, that, you know, you go to a campfire or a cookout and you're fine and they're not every single time, over and over again?
Yeah, it's always.
So I think it's gotta be.
Always been a curiosity to me. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great week, Doc. Thank you so much.
Dean, thank you. Have a good one.